Vipassana jhana from both theoretical and practical aspect. Jhana means observing closely on the object, and there are five kinds or six kinds of jhana factors. So these jhana factors are vitaka, initial application, vichara, sustained application, piti, joy, sukha, happiness, upekha, equanimity, and ekagata, one-pointedness. So sukha is happiness and upekha is equanimity. So they are both included in sensations. So they could be taken as one jhanic factor. So sukha and upekha can be taken as one jhanic factor because they are sensations. So in higher jhana, the sensation is upekha, equanimity, instead of sukha. So Saraji said, Saraji doesn't know whether the English, whether the words translated into English are practical or not, because Saraji says he is not skilled in English. So some translate vitaka as thought, and some translate vichara as reflection or planning. And also they translate piti, sukha, upekha in other words. So whether these translations are effective or not, Saraji doesn't know. It may be satisfactory theoretically, but these translations in English, according theoretically, may not be satisfying in the practical aspect. So Saraji explained on jhanic factor in practical aspect, which will be obvious to the yogis. Saraji explained with worldly example. Yesterday, Saraji explained on vitaka and vichara using the example of playing marbles when Saraji played when he was young. So the ones who are here, you may have played this game before, so you may be familiar with this game of marbles, and the example is very obvious. So Saraji will explain more on vitaka and vichara with other examples which are most obvious from both theoretical and practical aspects. So when one takes a meal, one uses fork in order to pick up the food on the plate. So in order to pick up the food on the plate with a fork, one needs two mental strength. So in order to pick up, for example, a piece of potato, you need to aim and direct the fork to the potato, and you must put effort so that the fork will land on the piece of potato. So if you want to pick up the piece of potato, you first have to think. Your mind goes to the potato, and then you need to aim and direct the fork on the potato. So, in order that the fork will reach to the potato, you also need to put effort. With the support of effort, the fork reaches the potato. So in order for the fork to reach on the potato, you need to put aiming, directing, which is one factor, one mental strength, and the other is effort. So you need these two factors, aiming and effort, so that the fork lands on the piece of potato. And asserting these two factors, aim and effort, the fork touches the potato, and touching or rubbing of the fork is compared to vichara. So if you just aim and direct the fork without putting effort, then the fork will not reach the potato. If you only put effort without aiming, then the fork will land elsewhere. So one needs to aim the fork. This aiming is like vitaka, an initial application. One needs to put effort. So this effort is viriya. So when you put these two factors, aim and effort, the fork reaches the potato, the fork touches and rubs onto the potato. So touching, rubbing against the potato is compared to vichara, sustained application. So this example is practical. So there are five kinds of nivaranas, hindrances which hinder and obstruct the jhanic factors. Because the hindrances also pollute the mind, these hindrances make the mind polluted. That's why they are called cetaso upakilesa, pollutants. And they also block the mind so that they cover or block the mind so that the truth cannot be realized. So they weaken the knowledge. They also hinder the knowledge from arising. And even the knowledge that has arisen can be weakened by these hindrances. That's why these hindrances are also called panyaya dubali karana. So these nivaranas, they are called nivarana, or in other words, avarana, because they hinder and obstruct the wholesome mind from arising. And they pollute the mind, they make the mind polluted. That's why they are also called cetaso upakilesa. And they hinder and obstruct knowledge from arising, and they make the knowledge that had arisen to become weak, so they weaken the knowledge. That's why they are also called panyaya dubali karana. In order to gain upper hand from these unwholesome states, in order to gain upper hand from these hindrances, one need to develop mental strength, which are directly countering these hindrances, and one also needs to develop mental strength that overwhelm these hindrances. So one needs to look for the mental strength which are directly opposite of these hindrances. Kamachanda, one of the hindrances, sensuous desire, wanting, desiring sensual objects, wanting to see good things, wanting to hear good sounds, wanting to smell nice fragrance, wanting to eat good taste, wanting to touch. So these sensual desire arise when one lacks control of oneself. So lacking control, when the mind goes onto these various desirable objects, the mind will not be calm. When the mind is pursuing such objects, there will be greed, sensuous desire, so the mind will not be calm. If there is ekagata, one-pointedness, which is samadhi, concentration. So if this ekagata or samadhi, one-pointedness or concentration is present, the mind will not be jumping around. The mind will be calm and collected. So this kamachanda nivrana, sensuous desire, will be calmed by developing ekagata, one-pointedness, samadhi, concentration. As long as samadhi, concentration is present, this kamachanda nivrana, sensual desire, has no chance to arise. So by this way, one can get rid of this kamachanda, sensual desire, with the directly opposite mental factor, samadhi, concentration, or one-pointedness. Vyabada, ill will, means the mind become rotten, rottening of the mind. One feels anger, hatred, ill will, grudge. Piti is joy, so it makes the mind glad and joyful. So this piti, joy, is directly opposite of vyabhara, ill will. And tinamita, sloth and torpor, it makes the mind contracted, constricted. The mind become slimy. So just like if you put butter in the refrigerator, the butter is cold and congealed. Tinamita makes the mind contracted. Tina is not wanting to put effort in the practice. It is tina, not wanting to put effort in the kind of work that is good for the person, is tina. Mita means lack of effort, becoming lack of energy, lack of effort, becoming exhausted, wanting to take easy on the practice, wanting to stay in comfort. It is mita. So in order to make the mind blossom, open, active and alert, one needs to develop vitaka. So this vitaka can make the mind blossom, open, active and alert. So by this way, one can dispel Tinamita, Sloth and Torpor by developing directly opposite mental state, Vitaka. And Odacha and Gogocha, having Odacha and Gogocha, restlessness and worry, the mind is not calm, so the mind feels there is uneasiness in the mind, there is discomfort in the mind. So when the mind is happy, then it automatically becomes calm. So if there is Odacha and Gogocha, if there is restlessness and remorse, the mind will not be calm. So this Odacha, Gogocha, restlessness and remorse has to be dispelled by Sukha. Having Sukha, the mind will feel happy, and thus Odacha, Gogocha, restlessness and remorse will be dispelled. When one does not have faith and confidence on the truth, because one does not have knowledge, or if something is beyond one knowledge, one does not have faith and confidence on it, there will be doubt, uncertainty, vicikicca, there will be skeptical doubt. So when the mind is rubbing, when the noting mind is rubbing onto the object so that the noting is effective, when the mind reflects on this object by rubbing onto the object, then it becomes effective. That one will be certain about the object, so one will automatically dispel vicikicca, skeptical doubt, uncertainty. So by putting vichara, sustained application in the mind, one will be free from uncertainty and doubt. So one needs to develop these mental states which are directly opposite, which are directly countering these hindrances. So one needs to develop these mental strength. One needs to strengthen these mental strength so that nivrana, hindrances, will be dispelled. So strengthening these mental strength, not only nivrana, hindrances, will be dispelled, but also other unwholesomeness will also be dispelled. So one should be developing these jhanic factors. So one should be closely contemplating on the object meticulously. It is jhana. So these hindrances are hindering and obstructing the precious practice in order to keep the body, speech, and mind purified, tamed, and gentle. So these hindrances also pollute the mind. These hindrances weaken the knowledge. So if a person is overwhelmed by these hindrances, then the person is defeated by these hindrances. The person indulges in these hindrances. So if one indulges in one's sensual desire, then one commits wrongdoing and so on. Indulging in dosa, there will be vyabada, ill will. So Saraji gives an example. If one is driving a car without a brake, then he, she has no control of his or her car without a brake, and the car will not reach one's destination. So if one has laziness, if there is middha, torpor, the mind will not be blossom or open, one will not be alert. So this middha, sloth, is gaining upper hand of this yogi. This middha, sloth, middha, torpor, is having victory on the yogi. This tina, middha, sloth, and torpor has followed the yogi till the retreat, and the yogi is practicing in an easygoing manner, enjoying the sleepiness with the eyes closed. And some yogis, they do not want to give up this comfort of sleepiness. So this sloth and torpor is the nearest internal enemy that can give trouble mostly, that can give trouble the most to the beginner yogis. So if the yogi is drowsy, sleepy, nodding for 1 minute, then these hindrances, tina middha hindrance, sloth and torpor hindrances, are hindering his or her practice. So this tina middha, sloth and torpor, is having victory on the yogi. So if the mind is left uncontrolled, then the mind will be thinking about the past, about the wrongdoings. There will be regret and remorse, and there can be problems such as tension, stress, and depression. And also, when one does not have faith and confidence on things that are worthy of faith and confidence, there will be uncertainty, doubt. So such hindrances are hindering, obstructing the practice which can purify body, speech, and mind in order to make physical, verbal, mental behavior to be tamed, gentle, lovable. So a person who has all these hindrances, their life are hopeless and useless. If one does not cultivate and develop mental strength so as to repel these hindrances, then his or her life will be useless all the way throughout the life. So one needs to practice so as to cultivate these mental strength in order to dispel these hindrances. Having vitaka, aiming the noting mind towards the object, one needs to put vitaka, aiming, directing the mind onto the object. The noting must be effective. In order to note the presently arising object, one needs to exert ardent effort. Atapa viriya, one needs to exert ardent effort to fight to dispel the hindrances, kilesa, defilements. So one needs to strengthen oneself so as to prevent these nivaranas, hindrances, and defilements from arising. One needs to practice so as to gain victory on these nivaranas, hindrances, and defilements. So It is compared to a person who is on combat, who is in a battlefield. So if the person is negligent, if the person is not mindful, then the enemy will gain the upper hand. Enemy will have victory on the person who is not mindful, who is not cautious in the battlefield. So in the same way, yogis are compared to the one on the battlefield who are in combat. So yogis are in combat with these nivaranas, hindrances, and kilesa, defilements. So yogis are facing their enemies, nivaranas, hindrances, and kilesa, defilements. So yogi should be mindful all the time. Yogi should be practicing all the time, strengthen himself, herself, boost up the strength in order to dispel, in order to fight these hindrances and defilements. So having practice, having skillfulness in the practice, yogi can gain upper hand, yogi can gain victory on these hindrances and defilements which has been following throughout one's life and samsara. So vitaka and vichara are explained as thought and reflection. So this translating vitaka and vichara as thought and reflection, it may be so when one is thinking, reflecting on the worldly affairs in science and so on. So such words such as thought or reflection, it may fit to the worldly affairs, science, and so on. But in the field of practice, it is not so. If one is thinking about the past, and if one is thinking about the future, then it is not practical in the field of practice. Only if one is mindful of the presently arising object, it is practical. So what one is thinking about the past or the future, it is not paramatta, ultimate truth, because it does not really exist at the present moment. So the thinking about the past or the future, so something that has arisen in the past, it is not paramatta, because it does not exist at the present moment. And the things that are to be arisen in the future cannot be observed because they do not exist at the present moment. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is to know who you really are. So one has to practice Satipatthana meditation to understand who he is, who she is. So in oneself, there are nama and rupa, mentality and materiality. They are arising in pair. So these mentality and materiality, they are relating to each other as cause and effect. These physical and mental phenomena are arising continuously, just like a stream of current. So in a stream of current, the old water passing, the new water coming, the old water passing, the new water coming. So the old giving rise to new. So in the same way, The physical and mental phenomena are arising continuously just like a current, the old object giving rise to new. In order to discern these nama rupa, one should note at the moment of arising. So one cannot be thinking, imagining, or reflecting. One should be observing at the moment of arising. So whatever object that arises at the present moment, it is certain. One can only be certain about the object that arises at the present moment. The object that had arisen in the past, that had already passed away, it is not certain because it had already passed away. The object that is to arisen in the future, it is not certain because it has not arisen yet. One should note the object that is fresh, new, and warm. Only then it will be practical and one will be certain about this present new object. So Saraji gives an example. If there is lightning in the sky at night, if the person looks after the lightning has arisen, then one will not see it properly. It will only be imaginary. If one looks only after the lightning has passed, then one will not see it in the way it is. So in order to know the nature of lightning, one should take a look at the moment the lightning strikes. Mama. So when the person looks at the moment of the lightning strikes, then the person will come to know the lightning, about the lightning, in a correct way, that this lightning dispels the darkness. One will also know the manner of this lightning lights up the sky. One will also see the brightness. One will also see how the shape, whether it is crooked or straight. In this way, the person will see correctly how the lightning strikes only if the person looks carefully at the moment the lightning strikes. So in the same way, Buddha taught, if one wants to know the object in the way they are, one needs to be mindful, one needs to observe the presently arising object at the moment it arises. So one needs to aim the mind towards the object, one needs to put effort so that the noting mind will get to the object and the noting will be effective. So the event that has arisen, that had arisen in the past year, past month, or past day, previous day, even the event that had arisen hours ago or minutes ago, if you think about them, then one will not know it correctly as it is, because one cannot know it directly because it is something that had already passed away. So if you think about it, imagine about it, you may be able to visualize them, but it will not be complete. So what you imagine may either be right or it can also be wrong. So the event that is to happen in the future, One cannot know it correctly because it may not be according to what you have thought. It will just be imaginary visualization. It will not be true. So, in order to know the truth, one needs to observe things at the moment they arise in the way they really are. That's why it is said, Bhutan Bhutato Pasati. One needs to observe the objects in the way they really are. One needs to know them in the way they really are. So the things that are arising at the present moment, the objects that are arising at the present moment, they are certain. So Buddha asked to note the object that are arising at the present moment because it is certain and sure. Because Buddha was very practical, Buddha also taught the way it is most practical. And the ones who are practical, they will understand that they need to note the presently arising object at the moment of arising. So yogis who are here, who have the opportunity to practice, so Sharaji says, may you be able to practice while you have the opportunity. May you not waste your time. May you be able to make use of your time most effectively. May you be able to practice apart from your sleeping hours. May you be able to practice diligently, continuously. May you be able to keep your noting mind on yourself, on the objects that are arising at the present moment, and may you be able to note them effectively.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.